Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a commission podcast. It's been a while. We fell into a House of the Dragon, and then this particular commission has been like the Ever Given cargo ship just stuck in the Suez Canal, blocking up the works. Like, it's an impossible. You can't shift it. I had a Jim, my standard co-host, said, fuck this, it's sports, I'm out. I had to go all the way to Pacific Northwest to bring my dear friend, Jay. Of personal arrogance, of bad books by worse people, of Mr. Feeney. Why is Mr. Feeney a car? Fame. Jay, welcome to this commission podcast.
Thanks. I was going to do a bit where I pretended to be Gino at first. Jim.
Jim. Talking Jim fan. Jones here.
I'm Jim Jones, NFL super fan. Fan of the, what would he be, a Chargers fan?
Oh,
he's
yeah,
a Padres fan, isn't he?
He's born in. That's where he started his life at. I think he moved to the Midwest about seven. He's a seven, so I don't know. He's not really a fan of any sports. Period. He was a Pacers fan for a brief time in the 90s and early aughts.
Really?
That's been it.
Wow. Interesting. That's some deep lore there.
Some real, you got to go to the Super Bowl podcast. By the way, we are doing a podcast on Super Bowl 52. Some madman by the name of Dustin commissioned this podcast, really outside the box thinking. He said, well, you said any two-ish hour long media, and it turns out this Super Bowl, sans commercials, sans Justin Timberlake halftime performance, is a trim 2 hours and 38 minutes. So Jay and I recently got together on his Twitch channel, and we live watched this thing. It took some notes, and he wants us to talk about it. This is a dedicated Eagles fan. If you don't know, Super Bowl 52 is where the underdog Philadelphia Eagles overthrew. I guess you can't overthrow the Patriots dynasty. They still won like six of these fuckers. He definitely kept them from getting another. You know,
right.
They definitely kept them from getting another. Cock blocked the championship.
I was trying to relate it to like
David slew Goliath.
It's like when, or like, who was that Guy Fawkes tried to take over the British Parliament for a minute or something? Uh-huh. Like, it delayed an existing monarchy.
I see. Threw a monkey wrench in the machinery for a season or two. I thought it's like, this is interesting. I asked Jim if he. And he's like, I just don't think we could turn this around because, like, I don't get this. I don't understand this. Not particularly interested in it. But we're able to sub in at Commissioner Dustin's approval. My man Jay here. Mm.
Commissioner works two ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. He's the good L of this project.
Yeah.
First off, I will say that if you are a fan of the New England Patriots, I would highly encourage you to shut this podcast off now. There's nothing but pain. There's nothing but pain ahead of you. If you Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, the New England sports franchise as a whole, you know, you guys got a lot of rings. You guys got a lot of, well, what do they call the NBA trophy? I don't know. Pacers never won one, so who gives a fuck?
I'm from Seattle.
You got a lot of the golden baseball. You got a lot of Cy Young rookie cards. You guys have so much winning in your city. You don't need to dwell on the few times you've fallen short in the past few decades. That's something a city with a massive inferiority complex would do. And that's not you guys. You guys are just as good as every other city on the East Coast. So hold your head up high, head on over to another one of our fine podcasts. It's pain ahead. Having said that, Jay, what's your experience with the National Football League? What team, if any, holds your allegiance? And how do you feel about the New England Patriots?
Yes, I've tipped my hand in this a little bit. I am a Seattle Seahawks fan. The funny thing is I didn't really get into NFL football until probably around 2009. squarely in the Matt Hasselbeck, well, tail end of the Matt Hasselbeck era for the Seahawks. And it was because I got in a, I broke up a long relationship and I started watching football because it distracted me. And it was something that had no connection at all to my ex-girlfriend. So, yeah, started watching, football around then. And then I've come to really enjoy watching it. As for the Patriots, I mean, you know, the interception on the 1 yard line, the repeat that never was, one of the rings on Tom Brady's hands is at the expense of the Seattle Seahawks. So,
yeah. Again, now, it's funny because like, it's so rare to have an interconference or extra conference rival. You know, usually you hate your divisional rivals, people inside your conference that you play once or twice a year. You can get a real nice hate boner going for the only way you get an extra conference like feud like that is over a lost Super Bowl. It's the only way it can happen.
That's true. I think it's a one way feud. I don't think it's that John Hamm meme. Like the Patriots are like, we don't think about you at all.
You at all, right? You're just our thumb. But it's I started, so like it's funny because I've got an interesting relationship with the Patriots. The first season I can really remember being excited about watching football is like the 85 season, and the Colts had just come to the city, and most people in Indianapolis were Bears fans. And the Bears had a really fun, exciting team. They had this like punk rock Jim McMahon, this guy wearing mirrored sunglasses and spiked hair, and he was he had an attitude. He's the bad boy, and he had that Mike Ditka is like just battleship of a man, and Walter Payton sweetness. One of the greatest running backs of all time. You got William the Refrigerator Perry. They went to the Super Bowl that year, and I was very excited. And they had the Patriots had the misfortune to be this monster football team's punching bag. They beat them 46-10.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, damn, that's like, I really like the Bears, but I felt bad for the Patriots. And in fact, I remember really kind of rooting for, wasn't it they got over on the Rams, or Tom Brady's the year where he took over from Bledsoe, and I got clear memories of rooting for them because they were the underdogs, and like Tom Brady just looked so happy. I just this image of him like holding his head, like his mind's being blown, his confetti's falling, like how is this happening to me? This wasn't. And I'm like, God, these seem like a hardworking group of young men. they defied the odds and they won. Good for them. That's the last time I will feel good about this franchise for the next several decades, because I am an Indianapolis Colts fan, and they are the reason that this city doesn't have but one Super Bowl title to our name. I believe if it wasn't for the Patriots, we'd have two or three more Super Bowl victories. But yeah, we had so many crushing fucking defeats in January games where fucking Belichick is like Saruman calling down the winter storm amongst the hobbits so they can't make it through the gap of rope. It's just so many fucking soul crushing season ending losses at the hands of these merciless bastards that I fucking hate them. I fucking hate Bill Belichick. I hate Tom Brady. I kind of hate the fans, you know, because that was I've never seen a fandom more obsessed with like class and respect yet show so little of it publicly.
Right.
It's just, and I'm a Midwestern. So that's like a double as offensive to me. Yeah. I root against these guys every chance I can get. And when they go in a Super Bowl, it's always like this twin thing. It's like, man, if they win, I'm going to feel like shit. Like I do. When the Patriots win a Super Bowl and they're like hanging around for a week or two, and I see the fucking Time magazines and the People magazines, and that, it makes me physically ill. But man, every once in a while they get fucking taken down and out, and it's the best feeling ever. And this was one of these games. This is one of those games where it's like nothing kind of went right for them. Like every break and call that they typically would get. It just didn't come together for him. And the wild thing about watching this game, this is only the second time I've seen it, I can't believe it. Like, I felt like it was in the bag from almost the beginning. Like, ever since the Eagles got that weird fourth and goal completion with the Philly special, it's like, mm-hmm. They're just not going to lose this game. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of remember it being a little bit more back and forth. It was a really fun game to watch, for sure. And a ton of offense. Not a great defensive effort, I would say.
Yeah, other than, like, you know, the really fluky interception that Foles, you know. It's one of those things, I hate it when a quarterback throws the ball, hit the receiver in the hands, the receiver bobbles it, it goes up, and then someone just grabs it. It's like this wild play. I feel like shouldn't they track interceptions differently? Like, if a quarterback misses the target and it's picked off or misreads the coverage, the guy jumps and pays, fine. But it goes into the intended receiver's hands, he throws it up in the air. It's like, how is that the fucking quarterback's fault? There should be, like, interception... Uh-huh. QB adjusted interception for... REC something.
They get a true... interceptions adjusted for bad hands.
for brick for hands. Dumb receivers. Yeah. that should be a thing, right?
Yeah, totally.
And maybe it's just because I knew, you know, watching this again, that what the ultimate result was, but I just felt like the ebb and flow in the game, it just felt like they're other than maybe at the very end, where it's like, you know, Tom Brady, he's within one possession. He's got 2 minutes and a timeout. You think, oh, my God, you know, he's going to. But like that's the only time where I felt like it was kind of like a nail biter. The Philly just felt like in control the whole game. It's wild.
I'm scrolling around here. At the end of the third, it was Philadelphia was up by 2 scores. But I seem to remember. It being a one score game for a lot of the, a lot of it. And here, you know, it's the fourth quarter, 5 minutes left and New England's up by one, you know, 32-33.
That's the only part of the game where it started to feel, I guess, kind of tense for me. And I feel like I remember even that from watching it the first time that I was like kind of weirdly confident until like, again, the last couple minutes where it's like, oh, Jesus, what if Eagles choked this away?
No, it totally felt like it was being set up for yet another Tom Brady comeback, mm-hmm. you know, special.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that in detail. I guess I got off track because I also want to ask you how you felt about the Eagles. Like, do you have any special animosity towards them, or?
Well, so actually, now that I think about it, this was a Super Bowl for cities that are known for being assholes, kind of. Like, you got your massholes from Boston, and then Philadelphia is like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know? Sure. It's kind of got like that scumbag
fan base
sort of reputation.
They famously threw batteries at Santa Claus when they tried to roll him out of an Eagles game. It's like, they're rowdy.
It might be the worst possible city matchup. Like, what would rival them? Las Vegas?
I mean, old school Raiders in Cleveland might have given them a run for their money, but yeah.
And I mentioned this during the stream. I feel like there should be solidarity between the Seahawks and the Eagles because we're both bird teams. We're both from smaller coastal cities. We both have green in our uniform. We both have exactly one Super Bowl win at this point. But I don't think that there is any solidarity there.
There a lot of beef? Do you guys have like some bad losses or bad? Do you know?
No, actually, I think for some reason the Seahawks kind of own the Eagles. So
maybe they see because that's a lot of time. I actually think the Colts Patriots rivalry was more of a feud. Because they beat the hell out of us a lot more than we beat them, and in much more meaningful games. Like the only time we really got
is a one sided.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of heat in the fan, and there's always like I think it was made more complicated by the rivalry of like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, like who is going to be the best quarterback, and that's. That's another reason I hate the Patriots is I thought, like, oh, man, when I get old in the nursing home and we're all sitting around playing Dungeons and Dragons and, you know, Halo Master Chief Collection.
Sure.
One of the fun things going to be is like debate with some Massachusetts kids about like who is better, Peyton Manning. It's like that's just not it's not a debate anymore. Like Tom Brady is just kind of unquestionably the greatest quarterback of all time. And I hate that. Yet it's true. You know, it's one of those things where it's like I would like to deny its trueness, but like I also style myself as a rational person. He just he's got 7 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, it's
like he's he has something ridiculous. Like he's got like he's got as many playoff wins as the next two winningest quarterbacks combined. It's like it's just, he's just ridiculously clutch in these situations. I didn't used to believe. I didn't used to believe there was a thing such as clutch. I thought it was like skilled and preparedness that like you know. Is, but like Tom Brady defies that shit because he just. Like more often than not, doesn't miss in these high pressure situations.
What's funny is I think he's losing a playoff game as we record this.
Is he really? Well, I mean, that's the thing. Is like he's 40. Isn't he like 45 years old
he's
now?
He's way old.
He's playing football at 45, Eddie. In a playoff situation, it is. It's insane.
Yeah.
I remember like Joe Montana had a resurgence with the Chiefs and everybody's like, oh, my God, look at this old man slinging the ball. And he was only like 37. Like it's just insane how durable this guy is.
It pays to be a pocket passer. That's for sure. I mean, they'll take big hits and don't run the ball up the middle. Like, I don't know. You can make an argument. I think that there are maybe some like for 3 or 4 weeks other quarterbacks that for that tiny stretch of time were better than Tom Brady. Like I think like Cam Newton at prime Cam Newton is like was so fun to watch, so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But he was trying to do backflips over people and stuff. Like you just
life's tough for the scrambling quarterback, man.
Yeah.
Whether drop it's back, your play pass. Style or you're forced to, it's mm-hmm. you just get the slings and arrows catch up with you a lot sooner. But even still, like he's just been remarkably durable. And like, I don't even think I would hate Tom Brady that much, except for he's got this thing where he just won't shake people's hands when he gets beat.
Oh yeah,
and the worst loss, the most guaranteed, he's going to sulk off into the locker room. And I just think that's so fucking at his level, at the what he gets paid, his place in the game. That is so fucking bush league. That shit that you would should have got beat out of him when he was playing pee wee. But what it's so fucking ridiculous. And what's even worse, he pretends to not know what people are talking about when they ask him about it. Oh, people are still fucking salty because I didn't shake Nick Foles. I didn't even think anything. Fuck you. This is like Google it. There's numerous think pieces written about it. It's a gross pattern, dude. Like, get over yourself. Fuck this guy. Anyway.
But is that maybe like without that, does he become Tom Brady is the thing without that extra competitive taking it personal.
The thing is, it's like, okay. And maybe this is like, cause like, I guess Michael Jordan's the same way. Michael Jordan, great basketball player. Seems like he's a huge piece of shit. If you're on the floor with him, like he's just going to, you know, he's absurdly like takes everything personal, like to the extent that it's a fucking meme. Maybe it is. Maybe the drive to compete turns you into some kind of maniacal kind of asshole. But like, I don't know. Like, it seems like that's a unique Tom Brady thing.
Oh, but you're forgetting about a little man named Aaron Rodgers.
What? Is he refused to shake her hand or two?
I don't know if he will refuse to shake your hand, but he's a I won't talk to my family guy. Just really, I don't know. Oh. I'm just repeating the dumb rumors that I see tweeted and stuff.
Okay, because I don't even know anything about Aaron Rodgers lore other than
I think he might be a decent sport, but
yeah.
I wouldn't. I can't imagine I agree with the politics of pretty much anyone on an NFL football field.
True. This is true.
Football players, class traders, yes or no? Interesting. We'll think about that. Maybe return to it.
But I don't know. I never like my, I have only positive thoughts, I guess, about the Eagles myself. I remember I won.
Okay, but that Santa Claus thing.
I mean, the, like I said, here's the other thing. I've been to Philadelphia a couple of times, and it's always been in, like, you know, the weather's been gorgeous or whatever when I went out there. I have never found the Philadelphia people to be anything but pleasant.
Interesting. Okay.
Like, maybe when they're whipped up in a Coliseum setting, they'll tend to throw us a battery at a Santa Claus. But like, if you meet them on the street and the sun's shining, and you're waiting in line for a Philly cheesesteak, and everybody's kind of happy about it, it's like, I don't know. Seems like a good vibe.
What I love about the battery throwing is that it demonstrates intent. The fact that they brought the presumably used batteries. Like, you're probably
somebody
not throwing.
Somebody is going to taste this battery's wrath. Yeah. Who's the target? Aha!
It's not like it was free battery day at the stadium or something.
First 10,000 people get a depleted D-cell battery. They have all the security guards that they're just like, that's how they replace their mag light day. That's the same thing. Yeah. They're just all unscrewing, just tapping out the four to them. Here you go, Timmy.
Like, throwing a beer bottle is one thing.
Right.
Because it's there, you're drunk.
Right.
You know, it's a normal part.
Got these guys as these beefy security dudes handing out batteries to little kids, and they're like, now, look, Mr. Rogers is singing the national anthem, and you'll be tempted. But keep in mind, Santa Claus is coming for the halftime show, so, like...
There's a rich tradition. Is this an American thing of throwing things on fields? Surely not.
Oh, okay, I bet they get pretty rowdy over in football land.
Football, yeah, that's right. They will, like, throw fireworks on the field in Europe.
Yeah, a lot of streaking, too. A lot of streaking.
Yeah, I like a good streaker,
more prevalent than
man.
An American. You like him?
Oh, yeah. I love a streaker.
I do, too.
That's my favorite part.
Anything that is like, I don't know, man. Like, that's interesting about stadium sports is like when weird stuff breaks out, people love it. Like when a bird gets loose, and or like a dog runs on a field, or a naked person. Yeah. It's like, it's just like, yeah, and you root for him instantly. It's like, that's more important than the game. Yeah. This naked guy beating the security dudes, fresh off a hand and D-cell batteries at the kids. Like, you root for him instantly.
I have a, I don't want to derail the conversation, but I do have a stadium champion of the people story like that. I saw Monday Night Football. The Seahawks hosted the Detroit Lions. It was the batted ball game. And there was a fat guy in our row, and I had, like, nosebleeds. And this fat guy got up, he takes his jersey off and starts, like, swinging it around, and everyone's like, yeah, they're going nuts for this guy swinging his jersey around, right?
Right.
And then security comes out and escorts him out, and everyone's like, boo, boo. And then a woman stands up and takes off her jersey, and she's wearing a bra, but nothing but a bra, and starts swinging that around. Nothing. Crickets. And then they bring the fat guy back, and he sits back in his seat, and everyone's like, yeah! It was wild.
Why did security talk? I thought you could stand up and swing your shirt around. Is that not... That's not acceptable behavior?
Maybe
the nosebleeds?
Primetime game? Maybe.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Nash, the No Fun League, some people called it. Anyway, what the other positive association I have with the Eagles is Don McNabb pretty much single-handedly won me a fantasy football championship one year. Because he scored a bunch of fucking points.
What was his prime?
It was coterminous with, like, the peak of, like, he was right there in the peak of, like, Brady and Breeze and Rodgers, and that he was just, like, didn't have the longevity.
Okay.
You know, because he took a lot of hits, too. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any. Yeah, they're the NFC team. I think their uniforms are pretty cool.
I like the unis.
Yeah, classy, classic.
Mm-hmm.
Good color combination. You love that. Love that. Like Hunter Racing Green.
Is that Kelly Green?
Is it what green?
Kelly Green, or is that a different type of green?
Damn, I thought I was fancy busting out Racing and Hunter. I don't even know.
It's no Action Green, I'll tell you that.
the Eagles had a pretty good story coming into this year. Like they styled themselves as the underdogs and no one really believed in them. Their golden boy quarterback, Carson Wentz, got folded up, stacked up, and Nick Foles had to start. And
Big Nick, you know, Big Dick Nick.
Big Dick Nick. And turns out he was I haven't kept up with Nick because, like, this is when I started kind of falling out of football league. Has he done well since? Is he still a pretty highly regarded quarterback? Was this a right time, right kind of?
I think it's more right time, right place. I think he's been kind of traded around a lot, but now I'm wondering if I'm thinking of Wentz. I think in my brain I could
Carson
a little
Wentz
bit
is like really hot potato.
Right.
I want, because this is something that Dustin was curious to hear us talk about.
Damn, commission a whole podcast and he gets your name wrong.
That's Dustin wanted us to talk about, like, you know, what we knew about the, you know, because like Frank Reich came from Philadelphia, had some success with the Colts. We, you know, had this kind of like, and he's like, oh, we just got this one piece we're missing. It's the quarterback. You know, Andrew Luck retires. We haven't been able to get stability there. I got this Carson when he was the real deal, and we had a thing going in Philadelphia. I think Carson Wentz kind of sucks. I don't know if this injury just kind of like derailed his confidence or what, but like, I don't know, man. I watched the Colts because I got back into football last year, basically on the strength of the Colts really turning things around the back half of last season and the HBO Hard Knocks series. Oh. And I found Carson Wentz and Frank Reich both to be very obnoxious. Like, they talk about how they met each other and they noticed that they had the same Psalms as their screen lock on their phone.
Wow.
And they're like instantly brothers in Christ. And there was multiple times during Hard Knocks where Wentz would sidle up to Reich during a practice and be like, coach, you know what I've been thinking? This is a total Gideon situation. Frank would be like, oh my God, I've been thinking the same thing. And I'm like, you fucking Jesus nerds has got to be the worst. And I kept on thinking, it's like, what about this season is remotely analogous to Gideon? Did you cut your team to its roster by observing which players cupped water with their hands and drank from the river versus getting down on their hands and knees like dogs and lapping at it? Is that what you did? You defeat a much larger army with 300 men by smashing clay jars at night that were filled in torches? What the fuck are you talking about, Wentz? It's like, this guy, and he just, every time there seems like there's a high pressure situation, he folds. So, like, I think Nick Foles, you know, maybe
just
his right
like
time.
Jesus did, though.
Is a total Gideon situation. He lapped it like a dog, and he delivered the goods. Because that's the thing. One thing that jumped out at me in this quarter, in this Super Bowl win, is just how on the money Nick Foles was with all of his passes. Like, he was hitting, like, covered receivers, long patterns, and putting the ball where only the receiver could get it. And it just looked smooth. Like, these guys have been playing for years. And I don't know if it just all came together for this one game or what, but Nick Foles just looked like fucking money.
Right. Well, it's because he worships the devil.
Right.
He's before the game.
Beelzebub.
He sold his soul. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And the devil delivers.
For a golden jockstrap. And he wore for that game. And I mean, just like, there were no wrong answers for Philly. We talked about the Philly special. Which I got a kick out of because I was rewatching the game to take some more detailed notes of different parts. And you can actually hear him say Philly, like, they get in the huddle and the camera's right above him, and you can hear him say Philly special, and everyone's like clapping. Right. That's all he says. And they go to the line. He's in a shotgun formation. It's this really slick trick play on fourth and goal early in the game.
Yeah.
And he approaches the line like, you know, quarterbacks sometimes do, and he's flapping his arms around like he's giving the line, he's giving the center directions, he's calling like the line motions and stuff, and he kind of steps to the side and freezes for a half second. The play it gets snapped, I don't know, the running back, I presume, and Nick Foles himself rolls out, catches a touchdown pass. He's the only quarterback in Super Bowl history to both throw and catch a pass in a Super Bowl.
Okay, I thought this was like a play that like any team could run the Philly special. It's not. It's like this one play is the Philly special, according to.
Yeah,
I'm looking it up on Wikipedia right now.
Yeah, it was designed. And what's really funny is that New England tried to run a version of the Philly special earlier in the game, where Tom Brady tries to catch and he just butterfingers it.
Beantown Bummer.
The Beantown Bummer. They run the Beantown Bummer instead of Philly Special. And then Nick Foles runs it to perfection. It's just, I don't know. That was such a wildly entertaining and gutsy and ballsy call. And it just worked. It just completely befuddled the Patriots. The Foles was wide open.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers have a chance to exercise their rights under the Patreon pact we've made by voting for the next Pulp movie that Jim and I will be covering. If you're one of the elite few backers at the executive producer level, don't miss your chance to influence us. Hurry over to patreon.com/baldmove and vote in the latest movie poll before it closes on Wednesday morning.
And for all other club members, we've got an all-new episode of Lunch with Jim and Aaron this Friday afternoon. Catch the live stream at 1 p.m. to interact with us and your fellow munchers over on Patreon, or you can wait for the podcast to drop later that day.
If you want even more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
The reaction shot of I don't know what this New England's defensive coordinator, he looks like Thor from the God of War, the Norse God of War games.
Okay.
The reaction shots to him seeing this, the result of this play were fucking priceless.
Right. Yeah, that's not just going deep in the playbook. That's like taking a page out of the back of the playbook and then running it and then burning it and never never running it again.
That's wild.
That is a cool story. Yeah, that's like sometimes it is fun, like these underdog teams the Eagles this year, dare I say, like the Seattle Seahawks in our first Super Bowl run. That was a fun one. Mm-hmm. You just know when there's something different about a team. Whereas the Patriots are like, we are a machine built to win Super Bowls, and that's what we do, versus like, we got something special this year, and we need to capitalize on it now, because it's a thing.
Yeah, we were talking about that in this live stream. I think the greatest era of my Colts fandom was like in the mid-90s, like the cardiac Colts, Captain Comeback, Jim Harbaugh era, where every year we were like projected to go like, I don't know, 4-12 or 6-10. And probably we were getting these 9-7 and 10-6 seasons, just barely getting into play. We went all the way to the AFC championship game against the Chiefs one year and gave them every bit that they could handle.
I forgot about Chiefs fans when we were listing the most annoying fans in the league. Anyway,
is that a divisional shit talk?
Not even conference.
Oh, right. Why you got so much smoke against the Chiefs?
Another
Super Bowl loss.
Chiefs fans just cannot admit that Patrick Mahomes isn't the GOAT.
He's fucking good, dude.
You know, he's great, and he might be the best in the league right now as of this moment, but like they're already crowning him better than Tom Brady.
Well, that's fucking stupid. And I honestly don't see how anyone's going to win more Super Bowl rings. Like it
I don't know if it's possible.
I feel like this isn't painful enough to Patriot fans, but there's this podcast so far. Do you know how hard it is to win six championships in the NFL in like the span of a decade plus? Like,
yeah,
everything about the league rules is like Mario Kart.
Right.
The further you get ahead, yeah, the worse you draft, and it's eventually going to catch up to you. You're not going to be. And the fact that they keep on fucking doing it, and Belichick has been able to keep, like, you know, my Jedi mind trick Tom Brady to not want top dollar for his services and things like that. It's just
that's the thing. And so, like, he like Tom Brady married someone who makes more money than him, right?
Is that true?
Giselle, I think she makes more money than him. Wow. There's this hilarious image I saw online of a newspaper from Brazil that says Giselle Bundchen's husband wins Super Bowl. but like the fact that he took like team friendly contracts, no one else does that. What is it's like his? I don't know. It's like how much money is enough money?
That was the other thing that stuck in my craw about the rivalries between Pats fans. Because, you know, I lived on these message boards and we were always talking shit. But, like, the thing is like, man, us Colts fans enviously looked at Tom Brady's contract. Like, what if Peyton Manning wanted to win more than he wanted to be the highest paid quarterback in NFL history?
Right.
Like, you're worth it, dude. I'm not saying you are, but, like, there's a reason our fucking defense is, like, shaky at best.
Yeah.
And you're always having to clutch at these, like, when the playoffs come, it always gets rough and it always and the offense kind of slows down. We got to play in some fucking frozen mud hole like Foxborough and we get our asses kicked. Like, maybe the $140 million contract, maybe we could put it, you know, get something besides glass cannons. Like, I don't know. It sucks because, yeah, they were able to beat the system. It looks like that's one of the things I've realized when I was doing research today, and I researched a lot of stuff that's come out and been reported about Tom Brady and Belichick and their relationship and Bob Kraft and how the inner, you know, some people dispute. Is this Seth Wickerman or something that wrote a whole book called It's Better to Be Feared about Belichick, which I'm going to have to read. But I've missed all the juicy Patriots goss, man. Like, that's like the whole thing's crumbling, I've been blissfully unaware of it.
So you were out by Deflategate?
No. Do we want to talk about Deflategate and Spygate?
I think those are mostly nothing burgers.
Right. It's fun to rub Patriots faces in it, but I do think that I do think it's a pattern of it's the kind of win at all costs kind of thing, but
I do love how suddenly a Bostonian forklift driver with a GED becomes like a climate scientist the moment Deflategate comes up.
That is so, I heard so much about PSI and BAR Oh my God. You're right. They're all accredited by the National Meteorological Association. Yeah. Overnight. They knew everything about that shit. Yeah. I was going to bring that shit up, but
well, were you out by the other deflated balls?
I got out when I stopped watching football and discuss when Andrew Luck retired entirely because of Colts mismanagement.
Well, I'm trying to remember when it lines up with the Robert Kraft happy ending massage parlor scandal.
I was aware of that. What's a billionaire gets his pud tug? Like, oh my God. Yeah. Where are my pearls that I may clutch them? Owner's in and out of rehab like every 5 years. So seems like a great guy, kind of a tragic figure. But yeah. Anyway.
Seahawks got lucky, man, with Paul Allen. Paul Allen saved the Seahawks because they were gonna move until he bought it, and then he really helped turn that team around. And then he died. No,
a good owner makes so, like, there's nothing worse than rooting for a football team or any kind of team where your ownership's just bad. Because there's nothing you can change. Coach, you can change general managers, but as long as the guy on top that's paying the bills is insane. Or an asshole, or indifferent, or whatever. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Indifferent might be the worst, too.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's like, well, whatever. We're this this product that we sell makes a ton of money. What if we go, you know, what is it now, 10 and 7 or 1 and 16, it still makes money.
Yeah. God, I guess we should talk more about the game. I'm just winging. I have no idea how to cover the Super Bowl as a there's a lot of weird shit in this game that I remembered on rewatch. Like, you know, Nick Foles has this beautiful first touchdown pass and like the momentum's rolling. They missed the extra point.
Yeah.
Right at the start of the second quarter, one of the most entertaining things in the world happens. Patriots receiver Brandon Cooks tries to hurdle this defensive back. I forget his name's McLeod. And he jumps and just fully on puts his dick in McLeod's face and then gets body slammed. It's like the funniest fucking thing. Like, he just had his wild hair to try to jump this man. And the guy just stood tall. It's like, nope, I'm just going to eat your dick.
Hurdling, hurdling is usually a bad move in the NFL. But who wins that scenario? Because the guy technically made a good tackle, stopped him, stopped the hurdle. You know, the play dies there, but he made that good tackle by using his face on the guy's junk. You know?
I mean, I'm still saying the guy whose ass is flat on the field was the loser in that scenario.
Who posterized who?
It's like Cooks just a few plays later is going to go out of the game on an unfortunate helmet-to-helmet collision that I don't think was there was no foul on that play. It's just that he literally is looking the other way and just ran into this guy full force.
Yeah, that was a little bit of an ambulance pass. Running with your head backwards, you know.
That's weird. The other thing that was weird that they kept on referring in the game was the fact that Malcolm Butler, one of the Patriots' best cornerbacks, the defensive backs, I'm not sure if he's a corner, hero of the game against your guys's.
All right, and I do got to mention this. I mentioned it in the stream, but I want to bring it up for this. I dated a Patriots fan who had a small yippy dog that was named Malcolm after Malcolm Butler. So what was I thinking, man?
You know, you were thinking of that part that tried to hurdle. To try to hurdle McLeod. So he was sitting this whole game and everybody, like the announcers, they were kept on showing his fans, like, I wonder why isn't he getting it? We just found out in September of 2021 when this guy unveiled this book, one of the details was that I guess this guy got in a screaming match with defensive coach Matt Patricia during a practice in the week before. And as what's kind of described as a power play, he benches him for the Super Bowl.
Should have benched Matt Patricia, dude. Wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was weird. They had missed extra point. You had Steven Gostkowski, which I don't know what he's doing now, but up to this point was known as like a really money automatic field goal kicker. This injury with Cook sets up a gimme 26 yarder that he completely dongs because the snap goes bad. The placeholder puts the ball down in some kind of cockeye, laces everywhere position, and the Gost just whiffs it. That's very unpatriots-like.
Because Patriots had a good kicking game because they took your... Oh, no, you took their guy,
We took theirs, and they got... Well, I mean, they kind of like... Adam Vinatieri was old. Turns out he still had a couple of good years left in him. But, you know, we kind of... the Patriots, let him get away for this you know, cheaper rookie, which probably they should have.
The kicking game... specifically field goals and point after tries, that's like the biggest like head game in NFL, right? It's all about like having nerves of steel and being able to go out there in the big moment and deliver. and then so it gets streaky, right? Because if a guy like breaks his confidence, then so again, I was like just browsing NFL highlights right before we started recording this. In the game that just happened, the Cowboys kicker missed four PATs. So you just like, that's the thing. You get up in your head and then your
do you know
your
how
emotions...
much? Yeah, because you start thinking after you missed the first two, like my team
right.
thinks I'm the biggest dildo in the entire planet. Because you got to like the kicker's got to be the low man on the totem pole. And then you're like, you know, they're just these highly specialist.
They,
usually the highest scoring player on any team. But
right, yeah,
they cannot be touched. They're inviolate. There's like right. like fucking that diplomatic immunity on the field. And all they got to do is one thing. And it's fine. If you miss a 50 yarder, you miss a 50 yarder. But you miss four consecutive points after.
Right.
That's fucking like the whole team's got to be like, put me in. I can probably
right.
kick this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be the worst, dude.
Do you think they have their own players union? They have like the kickers union.
Them and the long snappers.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to fuck. Because the long snapper might be the most outside the teammate. They're just like weirdos, man. There's only like a handful of plays. That they and but like it's so important they burn a whole roster slot on that shit.
Yeah, that is wild.
Must be pretty. Long snap play must be highly underappreciated.
One bad long snap goes sailing over your punter's
That's
head.
That's
a game right there.
They got and like they're so clutch because that almost never happens.
No,
it's so
never.
Memorable when it does because like those things mm-hmm. are just like yeah and they got to do that yep. and start block the guy in front of them so
like the first play of Super Bowl 48 not a long snapper but anywho I can't keep making everything about the Seahawks
as a
fan you do kind of everything is through the lens of your own fandom a little bit yeah. right
I had in my notes right about here, we're going to go in on Tom Brady some more.
Yes.
He's got the worst haircut.
In the
Tom
hair,
Brady
right?
might be the most handsome, goofiest uh-huh. looking dude that I've ever seen, like, grace the cover of fashion magazines.
Right.
And I looked up Tom Brady fashion magazines. He's posing in dog collars. He's petting baby goats while wearing what looks like his wife's UGG boots.
He's
and he's got two modes. Like he can have a decent haircut and the worst clothes, or he can have finely tailored suits and just a haystack. Like fucking Nick Nolte hair. I there's no in between. And then this in this era, he's got kind of like the crazy homeless Nick Nolte hair.
Yeah.
I don't,
weird, huh?
I like some god awful late 70s Arnold Schwarzenegger shit he's pulling off, and I don't understand. He's tall, he's fit, he's conventionally good looking. I expect this kind of shit from Peyton Manning because he's just a goofy dude. He looks like a thumb with eyes and a mouth. Tom Brady shouldn't be, and he's married to a supermodel. How is he this not put together?
Yeah, it's weird. I've found the graphic that they used where we all started dunking on his haircut here. He's got like kind of like short cropped hair on the sides, but then like bangs. I think what maybe was happening is like he's getting a little bit of receding hairline going up the sides like I do.
Oh.
So he like grew out bangs in the middle. He has like a comb forward.
He's got like a tropical storm version of the Donald Trump hurricane.
Like, only
it's
you
just
can see this,
to form
obviously.
And,
yeah.
And gather strength. Yeah, but now he's rich enough to get plugs. So, like, now, like as he gets the plugs put in, then his hair looks better.
That's true. He probably did go to some Turkish hair scientists at some point, huh?
Had to have. The other thing about Tom Brady is, like, I think Peyton Manning's pretty funny. I like the suit. I know we differ about this. I like his commercials. I like his.
I just said he was bad
Saturday
on SNL.
No, he was good on SNL.
Okay.
That what was the charity? The charity commercial where he's like just brutalizing those kids. Oh, it's so fucking
that
funny.
That was funny. That was funny.
The United Way. I thought that was pretty. I Tom Brady is anti funny.
Did Tom Brady ever do SNL?
Yes. I can't believe we're not comparing this because it's like, okay. I think that's a terrible SNL performance. But you know, it's like the lack of humor goes hand in hand with lack of handshakes on losses. Right.
Wow.
You know, if he had a sense of humor about himself, he wouldn't do shit like that. What else are we going to talk about? Oh, we're talking about the Eagles being underdogs. He sent me, Dustin sent me this famous speech by, what is this guy's name?
Is this where the guy's all dressed up like in like a genie kind of an outfit?
It's something weird like that. It is. Oh, Jason Kelsey's speech.
Right.
I gotta say, Dustin, I might need a Philly to English translator because the second half of that, the full second half of that speech just. Woman professional fucking and I just didn't. I was like, I couldn't. And then there was grown men crying in the audience. Like the first 100 comments on YouTube is I can't make it through the speech without crying. And I'm like, I don't know. But it's something about no one believed in them, that all their head coach wasn't experienced enough. Was it Mark Lombardi? Whichever the Lombardi told him he didn't have what he takes. The half the guys on defense are too old and too fat. The Nick Foles can't, like, just nobody, you know, nobody believed him. And yeah, look here, they got the Super Bowl. I wish I could give you your money's worth on that, but like it was kind of lost on me, man. Lots of passion. But yeah, there's these underdogs, and I was thinking that like that's the best. I started talking to this story, and I'm a little frazzled. It's kind of late at night. I may or may not have been enjoying adult substances right before we started recording this podcast. But I was trying to say that like the best time when I was a Colts fan was in the mid '90s, where we weren't expected to win and we went far because.
Right. Yeah.
In the middle of the Colts kind of like aborted dynasty where we couldn't just kind of get the deal. So it's like you would put up these like 14-2 seasons, 13-3, 12-4. And the whole time you're like, yeah, we're going to win the AFC South. Who gives a shit? Now let's see. Are we going to honk out in the first round? Or are we going to do it in the AFC? It's like you don't enjoy the success while it's happening, because if you don't get the Super Bowl, it's all for naught. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I kind of like, I guess I would rather be, I'd rather be the Patriots. You'd rather be the Patriots where you're winning like 6 out of 18 or something. Right. But like, I'd rather be a team that like kind of sucks for 10 years and then has like these improbable 2 year runs of dominance. And then they go back to suck. I'd rather be that than the constant on the cusp. And man, what the Pacers and the Colts, I've been cusped a lot. I feel like the Eagles are one of those streaky teams. Like this was like the end of their play. They hadn't won a championship at the football since before the NFL was a thing.
Like
AFL NFL.
Oh, okay, they had one of those like AFL champion. Okay.
Yeah. So they had never won a proper Super Bowl. Took them 52 years and they did it.
It's kind of funny that we just kind of decided like, no, only Super Bowls count. Those old championships, those don't count.
In the pre-unification wars, all those records were lost and the radiation over the Midwest. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Seattle's always like expansion teamy stuff. So we're always like, we were founded 20 years after the first Super Bowl. So whatever.
It's weird as a Colts fan, because like we stole a team from another city, and like in my, you know, it happened, and I, you know, as I got to be a Colts fan, I'm like, God, how would I feel if like Chattanooga just grabbed the Colts and they're the Chattanooga Colts now? And also we not only got their uniforms and their name, but their records too.
Right. That is pretty wild.
Like our Super Bowls are your Super Bowls? What the fuck? Like that's Baltimore Ravens. I can never hate you guys because we did you guys so fucking dirty. And I think you've been fairly classy about it. Like every time we come, we're the football team from Indianapolis, and I wouldn't expect anything less. Like that's the proper amount of disrespect to show a team a city just fucking stole your team in the dead of night.
Yeah,
it'd
be real tragic if some nowhere city, like, I don't know, Oklahoma City stole one of your franchises.
But at least they let you keep the laundry and the records so the supersonics can boom once more. Once you get your shit together and the league lets you.
But I think it's supposed to be like a shared, we share the titles. I don't even care.
Oklahoma Thunder. What a
joke. I don't even care about the Kraken. And they're like a legit Seattle team. MLS, that's where it's at.
What? One other legendary fact about this game is there's only one punt.
One punt, one sack.
One punt and one sack. It was just a pure game of essentially offense.
That guy took to the face.
Right.
So two sacks.
Yeah, that is a sack with two balls, it turns out.
Yeah,
there's also go ahead.
It was such an offensive game, and it's like that's what the NFL wants, right? Because it's objectively more fun to watch offensive games unless you're like a bitter old like where's the defense, you know, kind of a guy like come show up on third downs and get a stop here, you know.
I don't know if I like a 3-6 Super Bowl, but I kind of like a 16-20. You know, it's like that's a score that says there's like a fucking safety probably, and you know, because there can be spectacular defense too, but like if it's just like a 3-6 slog, it's like that just feels like so futile. Like why
I like
did
a
I,
good I like a good
sun fireworks.
I like to see a good like 43-8. For some reason, that number sounds
you like seeing
good
the beatdown. Yeah, well, you would have loved Super Bowl 20, baby, because the Bears served that up to the Patriots with style.
Of course, I like a good. That was a Seahawks meme.
Oh,
I like a good back and forth game, of course. But the one time Seattle won it, it was an absolute massacre. So,
yeah, I mean that's the only that's great for the home team. It's great to be able to just like let the stress of the Super Bowl bleed away in like the first quarter or two, and it's just all getting drunk and feeling good and not worrying and laughing at the like it's boring to watch if you're a spectator and otherwise, but like it's the best result for a home team.
Yeah, but this Super Bowl 52 was a very fun watch, especially the way that it is. It's on YouTube. You can watch it in a tight 2.5 hours.
If you Google Super Bowl 52, it's the first link, and it's the game in its entirety. No commercials, no halftime, no nothing.
And yeah, exactly. And I was really surprised with how zippy the game was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still 2.5 hours, but I was like, wow, this is just flying by. This is fun.
It's really cool when there's questionable calls, because like you just like you get to see the evidence. It's like it's not like waiting 5 minutes. It's just like you get to see the evidence and the guy comes out and rules. I want to talk about that because there's two quote unquote controversial touchdowns that I think Chris Collinsworth low key beclowned himself on, because like I watched this again today. Like Zach Ertz makes this spectacularly impressive diving catch into the end zone. He grabs the ball, he takes a couple of steps,
right? Yeah,
and then he jumps forward, and this is a fucking catch. Like, I don't like the guy takes like three steps and jumps. Like, every one of those is a football move. It looked like the ball was secure. And Collinsworth is like, oh, I don't know if he had the balls, I don't know if he got this thing down. And he does the same thing. That was the second one that I thought was really stupid. But like the one at third down in 7 minutes, too, the same thing. Foles to Corey Clement this time. It's like whether he had the ball secure or not. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I thought the ball looked pretty fucking secure. It's like he had it and then he like let it shift around, but it's not like he was bobbling it.
Right.
And I thought that may be a close call, but the second one, I couldn't get over Collinsworth is like acting like he didn't understand how the rules of the league operated anymore.
Right.
Because of this thing's being not overturned.
And I think we've gone a little too far with the like, oh, did it shift? There was a 1/8 of a rotation Yeah. So that technically that's not, I think we need to go back. What did the football founding fathers think a catch was? Because they didn't have HD cameras
with
slow motion replay. You just knew it was like, yeah, you caught the ball. You know, if you went back to like Super Bowl I with like today's technology, I bet like 90% of the catches would have been considered incomplete. Like,
they'd probably be like, why are you throwing the ball so goddamn much? You're going to drop it or something. Just run it, man. Get in the flying V and run the fucking ball. Like, it's like, cause that's like the NFL has really changed a lot since Super Bowl I in terms of
the passing,
especially.
But it's fun to watch a pass. That's the thing.
It is. But it's fun to watch a, oh man, I don't know. Like a good dominant run game is hard to beat too. Really just really guts the defense. It charges up the offensive line.
Right,
it's a thing of beauty.
I'm putting myself in the eyes of like a casual fan, a Super Bowl watcher who they'll watch one game
brings
of
in a lot
football
of casuals, yeah.
per year, and it's a Super Bowl, and it's more fun to see the ball fly through the air in a diving spectacular catch versus Derrick Henry gets like 7.5 yards and all the football fans are like, he gets like 3.5 yards, but it was like a stacked box and all the football fans are like, oh my God, this guy's so good.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look as good as like a deep pass for 50, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing about football is like, there's like lots of different levels to appreciating it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the surface level of like, you barely can follow where the ball's going and like, you're kind of bewildered when things happen and you don't understand. And then you kind of get the grasp of the rules and you start knowing the players' names and that and their little idiosyncrasies, and that's fun. And then you start paying attention to like line play and gaps like, you know, coverage shells. And, but the more you get to know it, the like, I don't know, man. I feel like football is one is my favorite sport. I stopped watching because it's possible to watch Colts games in Cincinnati without like a $300 Sunday ticket, which I don't even qualify for because I could get satellite coverage. I'm just not going to. Like, why can't I just give Amazon $300 and watch every goddamn game? Like, what is this terrestrial satellite bullshit that we're putting up in 2023?
I mean, yo ho ho, that's how I watch all my football. I don't pay a
dude,
I don't pay
I can't
a cent.
Get I don't have the patience for that streaming shit. I don't have the patience to click through 20 different fucking things.
It's getting a lot better terms of that. It is. Yeah. Like I can get into
click 10 things now.
I can get into a game with no ads and it'll have a pretty good stability. But you are like, you're behind. So if you're at all connected to other people watching the game, like on the actual feed, like it'll be spoiler city.
Oh,
because it's they see the touchdown 5 minutes before you do. You know.
I see. I don't know. I had mixed results with that. I just can't believe that like HBO decoupled from cable before the fucking NFL has figured out a way to do this. It's like they must be counting the beans and it just doesn't make sense yet because
What about red zone? I mean, you
I
can't
don't like
watch
red zone. I think you red don't zone's a good second screen experience.
Ooh.
But it does not replace the ebb and flow of watching the actual games.
No, that's true. That's totally true. I watched the Seahawks game and then I watched the rest of the league through red zone.
Yeah.
Apparently it's only $10 on YouTube.
Really?
That's what I heard.
I just wish I could pay him $30 and get every fucking game. One of these days. One of these days.
Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what 2-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info. try to make it super easy to support Making Podcasts a Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love. You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
We've got a 5-point game. We're down at the end, towards the end of the game. It's the 5 points. The Eagles give Tom Brady about 2.5 minutes. I think it was 2 minutes, 21 seconds. He's got the 2-minute warning. He's got a timeout. And in NBC, as the drive starts, helpfully supplies the following chyron. Tom Brady has 11 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or in overtime, 5 of which have been in Super Bowls. And at that point, I was asked a live chat because we had a whole bunch of Eagles fans in there. And I was like, okay, guys, on a scale of 1 to 10, how terrified were you at the beginning of this drive? And Wookie says 10,000. Brooklyn MD said, I was already consoling my family members. Jim Golf says, I was shitting myself, especially the year before watching the Patriots come back against the Falcons.
Right.
But it turns out Brady does turn mortal. He's making plays. He's heading up the field.
That was the year before. It was the Falcons game.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. This massive comeback. Then that's the things like I never allow myself to relax when the Patriots, especially in a situation where it's a single score and he's got 2 minutes and it's like one of those things like it's more than I need, you know?
Yeah.
That's where you're back, like,
do we let him score so that so we have enough time?
Right. You start playing this weird math in your head, right? Yeah. So he's moving up the field, making steady progress. On a second and two, he drops back. There's 2 minutes and 15 seconds still left in this game. And the Patriots front line is just overwhelmed by this aggressive Philly pass rush, and he gets strip sacked.
Yeah, the one sack. Well, the one official sack.
And it's funny because, like, I love the looks on quarterbacks' faces when they get sacked.
It's so
because
good.
It's always, like, the most surprising thing that's ever happened to them in their life. Like, and I think Tom Brady's got a great sack face. It's not as good as Peyton Manning's got the best sack face in the NFL. That goofy motherfucker must have been. I can't even imagine rooting against him and seeing him get sacked just by how, like, his helmet will always, like, ride up. Because it could barely fit his bulbous head, and he makes this kind of he's just like a mewling baby getting sacked. Tom Brady does that, and the Philly comes back, plays super conservatively, just essentially just do running for up the middle for no gains, kick and settle for a field goal. Jake Elliott sinks his 46 yarder, a lot of pressure, makes the game an 8-point, but it's still one possession. The Patriots could get the kickoff, and they got over a minute Brady's got no timeouts, but over a minute to march 91 yards. He's got to get a touchdown and a two-point conversion. But they are just, it's not like they're moving the ball, but not nearly as fast as they need to. There's a little bit of clock mismanagement. Brady's frustrated. He's got one play left. He launches the end zone and he's targeting Gronk. Now, Gronk, we talked about this in the game. He is a unit.
Yes.
He looks like if you had genetically engineered the perfect specimen to play tight end, something like Rob Gronkowski would pop out of that test tube.
Yeah.
He's just big. He's tough. He's got like an erector set battering ram on his arm. And he is so much bigger than everyone around him in the end zone that like it's kind of plausible that he might catch it. But he's drowned in like a sea of five Eagles defensive backs. Can't pull it down. And the game's over. Tom Brady and the evil fucking Patriots have been defeated, have been sealed. Their evil has been sealed for yet another year. And the city of Philadelphia, battery chucking city of brotherly love, gets mm-hmm. the championship monkey off their back.
That's what you don't see during that play is Gronkowski just getting pelted with D-cells. He's going up for the ball and it's just getting showered with batteries.
Yeah, it was six defensive backs and about 32 D-cell batteries. But that's the game. And I can't imagine because, like I said, it's the... What a tense game that was, going down to the wire with like a comeback artist like Brady. And being able to finally like realize like, oh my God, we actually won. It must have felt good. Like I said, because like when the Colts won a Super Bowl against the Bears, that didn't feel nearly as good as the AFC Championship game 2 weeks prior. Like
right.
Beating the Patriots, especially since we came back so far in that game. Like they had us up like three and a half scores going into the halftime, and we came back and beat those fuckers on our home turf. That was that was like a baptism. That was like an exorcism. That was like a Roman Catholic priest and a medicine man with sage came through the RCA dome and cleansed it. Beating the Bears is like whatever, you know. Kind of expected it, and it would have really sucked. It'd have been very Colts like to lose that game, but we won the Super Bowl. So I have much fonder memories of the AFC Championship game that year than the actual NFL. So beating the Patriots, whew, boy, does it feel good. Good for your soul. Everyone should do it.
I am curious. So what year was what season was this? The Super Bowl 52.
Wasn't it 2019?
Was it the 2019-2020 season? I always get confused because it goes over.
No, I'm sorry. It was February 2018. So it's a 2017-2018 season.
2000. All right, 17.
Jesus, we're gearing up to do Super Bowl 60 in a few years.
Ugh, don't.
And I have living memory of Super Bowl 20. I want off of this train. I want off of this crazy train.
Okay, so the Eagles beat the Vikings in that championship game in a handy fashion, 7-38.
Wow, was which that was pre-Super Bowl.
Pre-Super Bowl,
what year
yeah.
was that?
So that was 2018 because it would have been January 2018.
What was the year that they won the pre-Super Bowl?
This is the same year that they won the Super Bowl. They beat the I was wondering who they beat in the NFC Championship game.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking. Okay, so when you're saying pre-Super Bowl, you're like, that's a weird way to refer to the NFC Championship. But sure, the pre-Super Bowl. I thought you were talking about the last time they won AFL Championship or whatever.
Yeah. And it looks like the Patriots beat the Jacksonville, a 12-7 Jacksonville Jaguars team.
Yeah, Jacksonville kind of like, because that's the thing, is like when I was a really big Colts fan, we just kind of owned AFC South, and it's like the Titans sometimes gave us trouble, but like the Texans and Jaguars are just kind of like laughers. We kind of had an easy conference most of the time, but yeah, they've had a resurgence. They made it to the playoffs again. They honked out last. Did they lose this weekend?
No, They beat Jim's beloved Chargers.
They embarrassed them.
Trevor Lawrence threw four interceptions in the first half, and then they turned it around and won with a walk-off field goal, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a squad. The Jaguars are one of those teams I'm always like, I don't like, if you ask me to list like every NFL team from memory, the Jaguars would be one that I would, that'd be one of the last ones. I'd be like, who else?
Yeah, the expansion. Yeah, it's one of those weird expansion teams.
Also, do Jaguars canonically, that's not the right word because I'm talking about real life, but do they have teal tongues or is that just in the logo?
Jaguars have teal tongues?
In the logo, it does.
I did not know that. I gotta say, Jacksonville, you all have terrible uniforms.
Oh, and a bad logo. Yeah,
it's like the spots and the teal. It just, it's oof, boy. There needs to be something to change down there. That's not not good. Not good.
Yeah.
Who do you think has the ugliest team? Let's start some real shit here at the end of the pod. Like, I'm sure Dustin came.
Okay.
The Phillies got a clean uniform. You're safe.
I do want to say,
I admire the Patriots uniforms. I think the Patriots uniforms are spiffy.
I don't like the Pats uniforms. I do want to say, before I start throwing shade, I love the Colts unis. They're classic. White and blue, simple, you know, don't mess with success.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people will say the Seattle Seahawks have the ugliest uniforms in the league.
Is that because I always thought they're very new school, but I always thought they're very sharp. Really?
They're pretty bad when we go action green. But so my least favorite unis has to be the Texans. I hate them. They're just cheesy. It's like, I feel like it's a uniform for like a made up team in some football movie. It's red, white, and blue. Like, we can do better than that. And I don't know. I kind of hate the Texans.
Yeah. I think the most tedious uniform known to man,
you're gonna say Bengals,
is the
huh?
throwback Buccaneers.
The creamsicle?
When they're wearing the creamsicle. Oh,
you're
my
insane.
You are going to defend the creamsicle?
Yeah, I love the creamsicle.
With the fucking cheesy pirate dude? Pirate Pat or whatever his name is?
I love it. I also love that like they have the courage to have an unorthodox color, right?
Courage, yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of the same reason why I like Chargers powder blue. Like, there's not a ton of powder blue.
I'm not a big fan of it. I know everyone loves the fucking powder blues. I'm not a big fan of the powder blues. But I think, and the thing is, I think the Buccaneers got one of the best uniform glow ups of all time. Like,
oh, really?
Man, going to that
digital
crimson
clock?
And...
No,
the
no,
digital
no.
Clock? What are you talking about?
The numbers, they look like a digital alarm clock.
Yeah, but I mean, the color scheme and the cut and the helmet, compared to the dreamsicle shit.
I don't know. Red? I don't like a bright red. I like a darker, more maroony red, but bright red to me, you're trying too hard. I don't know. That's like, it's like what a 4-year-old would design. I want it to be bright red, like a fire truck. Yay. Anyway, opinions, I got them. Maybe it's because of also residual
spicy
Niners hate.
It is a little close to the 49ers palette.
I don't want to talk about the Niners right now.
Those are your big division. What's your most hated team?
The fucking Rams, dude. I hate the Rams.
Really?
I hate the Rams. The Niners, sure, they're our official rival, and I hate the Niners, and I love beating the Niners, but I hate the Rams, man, especially because of, God, I want to say Jim Irsay. That's not saying. What was the mustache coach they had for the longest time when they're in St. Louis?
They used to be the Titans.
I think
coach
so.
Jeff Fisher, right?
Jeff Fisher. Dude.
You don't like Jeff Fisher?
Jeff fucking Fisher. Whenever he played the Seahawks, he didn't just like go to the back page of the playbook. He like dusted off some weird playbook, like experimental play, break.
He
and
beat
Kate
you dirty? That's what you're break saying?
I mean,
some
it was
bullshit.
He would win. He would win with like fake out. There's this one time they scored a punt return touchdown on us by having the kick returner, the punt returner, pretend to like scope the ball out and pretend to catch it. Meanwhile, the ball is on the other side of the field and all the Seahawks bit on the first guy and he just does like a walk-off touchdown. Like, that was the kind of stuff Jeff Fisher, and he would go 7-9 against the rest of the league but beat the Seahawks twice. Oh, I hate the Rams and Aaron Donald and their stupid handsome young coach.
That's funny because it's so funny because I don't have really strong feelings against any of the NFC teams, but it's just like the Rams always seem particularly unoffensive, and then here you get these weird rivalries. It's so funny.
Rams, man. I would gladly lose to the Niners three times in a season to beat the Rams twice.
See, the thing is, I've got a weird residual hatred because like the Colts used to be in the AFC East, and somehow we ended up in the AFC South, even though the Bengals are in the AFC North. It's crazy. But we used to be in the same division as the Patriots when they were jokes, and the Bills and the Dolphins. And I still feel a lot of heat towards the Patriots. I still also have a surprising amount of hate for the fucking Dolphins from the Dan Marino era. Like Olden is like, got that old man embarrassed us a lot.
Yeah.
But the Bills, I think the Bills are kind of cool. The Bills had that like run where they came, they like were in like four or five consecutive Super Bowls, but they couldn't win.
They lost four in a row, yeah.
That's so, like, I can't hate a town that goes through something that fucking brutal.
Yeah.
I think their uniforms are cool looking. And you know what? They got a damn fine team right now. Wildly entertaining team.
Yeah, they
so,
do.
So, like, I've lost all my hatred for the Bills.
Or Josh Allen's the real deal. So, and the AFC team I hate. Because let's not forget the Seattle Seahawks were originally in the AFC, AFC West.
Deep lore.
So, we were the original Bronco Busters. So the Denver Broncos hate them. And the fact that Russell Wilson went to them is even more salt. And just,
that's pretty brutal. If that's your most hated, like, that's like, you know. Because I thought it was when Peyton Manning went to the Broncos. I never wished him harm. I was a big Elway fan back in the day. You got the Horse Bros.
Yeah, right. But the Colts cut Peyton Manning. So that's different.
True.
Yeah, Russell Wilson forced himself off the team. He wanted out.
But we
won that trade anyway. So suck it, Denver. I wish you another 20 years of suffering. Patrick Mahomes.
Well, it was all worth it because we got Andrew Luck. You know, we could have had another two Super Bowls with the Peyton Manning and have him retire as a Colt. And but we got Andrew Luck. We got Andrew
you
Luck.
His career. And
we got to ruin his career. And I made it all worth.
I mean,
it all worthwhile.
Luck was really good when he was good.
Luck was really good. It's a damn shame we ruined that fine young man. God damn the Colts front office.
Seems like he was a little too smart for NFL. Like he wanted, it seems like he was like, no.
He's like, I don't need to destroy my knees. And
I'll get my paycheck. And I also want to be able to enjoy my 80s.
He's like, how many vertebrae did Peyton Manning have fused? Oh, fuck that. No.
They did what to the vertebrae? Fused. Okay.
Yeah, man. The Colts offensive line's been a horror show for like a decade now. I don't understand how you can fuck up that many drafts. It just seems like the sheer luck. Because again, the league is set up for that not to happen. You're supposed to, as you suck, get better bites at the apple.
And yeah. Our bites always
turn out wormy.
It seems like there's 32 teams and you need 5 O linemen. So 32 times 5, that's 160?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's 160 NFL caliber offensive linemen out there. It just isn't.
Yeah, especially good ones, man. We had like during the prime of Peyton's year, we had such a great squad, man. Tarik Glenn, just his massive left tackle, just like completely protected us. But Jeff Saturday kind of infamous now because he had a second to dawning in the Colts. And I was so fucking hyped for that when it was announced. And like then I'm like, oh, he's only really caught the like coached at some weird religious high school. But he's Jeff Saturday, you know, center's smartest, second smartest player in the squad. They always say right behind the quarterback. The center's got the most brain power and understanding the game and Like, I was like, this could work to support it. I don't think it worked. It doesn't seem like it worked.
I was like,
I had these delusions of like Peyton Manning being the GM and Jeff Saturday being the head coach and like how fucking rad that was going to be. But
it's no Jeff Sunday.
I think that Peyton just really likes being in Denver and he really likes palling around with John Elway and maybe getting a partial ownership. So I think the Colts have lost him.
Yeah, I think so. I think that I'm writing.
And then like, if I had a choice between Denver and Indianapolis, you know, probably Denver.
I have heard a lot of these guys that could be coaches but get the opportunity to do like media stuff. Like the media gig is just so much better.
Oh,
versus
yeah.
Coach, you're living
coach
in the stadium.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Being coach is like executive producing on the Game of Thrones. It just never ends. You get like 3 weeks off, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Where you don't have to do this grueling 70, 80 hour work week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a racket. Plus, like every one of them talks about how miserable it is. Like,
right.
Like winning as like, we talked about this on the stream, like winning as a relief.
Right.
But losses are just soul crushing. Like
right,
they stick
right.
with you.
Right.
It's like, man, relatable, but man,
maybe you need to be more nihilistic about the results.
Yeah.
But then you probably wouldn't win a lot of football games.
I don't know. Every once in a while, they have those, like, you know, what's that? Phil Jackson, you got these like Zen monks that seem like they're all blissed out and they're like completely in balance.
I think that's what you gotta be, right?
Yeah, like Tony Dungy, he was like a pretty far out there Christian type dude, but he seemed like he was legit, pretty grounded and fairly happy, pretty even tempered. Like, I don't think you have to be a maniacal asshole to do the job. It's just like maybe maniacal assholes are drawn to the position, you know?
Oh, it's like the CEO,
like the people
that thing.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like a gentle hippie might be very good at coaching football, but they're like probably going to be like, yeah, whatever, man. When,
yeah. I want my organic farm.
Exactly. My organic hemp farm. Okay. I don't have much more to say. Was this a good Super Bowl commission podcast? I don't know. I've never done one before. And I'm not saying, like, I don't know if I want the floodgates to open with everybody commission their favorite Super Bowl. Because
well,
I don't know. This might be a one and only one kind of thing. I don't know.
Let me give you my immediate feedback on this. It felt a little bit more like a NFL in general sort of a conversation.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like the game is what the game was, and
right.
I haven't been plugged in to the NFL in several years. If this had happened 5 years ago, boy, it'd have been a whole other thing.
But this could also be the burgeoning new BM Sports sub empire.
You listen to WBLD, your number one sports talk podcast network. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is what you're wanting, Dustin, because that's kind of like my feedback was too. It's like we're talking about a lot, but like, you know, we talked about it, like how much we hate the Patriots. That's probably appreciated.
Yeah.
None of us hate the Seahawks. We talked about all the big
the
plays.
Eagles.
See, he's gonna want a refund now.
That's my fault. I apologize.
Fair enough. He infected me with the Bird Bros meme.
We all observe sports through the lens of our own fandom. I do believe so.
True.
Especially
true.
Chris Collinsworth.
Thanks for coming on and helping me out with this, Jay. Because like I said, Jim completely was I don't even know what the podcast would have been if it just a one sided me screaming into the microphone.
Tears off Jay mask. It's been Jim the whole time.
We've got some exciting Jay news. We are going to start recording Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car Season 2, where we are going to sample many pilots of the 80s actions. We're going to be looking at the A-teams, the Airwolves, maybe the Blue Thunder, Fall Guy, MacGyver, Last Action Hero. Not Last Action Hero. Greatest American Heroes, the one you want to check out.
Yes.
Airwolf. It's going to be a lot of, we're going to, and maybe a couple classic Knight Riders. There's a couple like I would love to show the whole Garth Knight saga. I'd love to get the first appearance of the Super Pursuit mode. We're gonna start recording these, and I think they're gonna start debuting in February. That's a feed that exists. If you didn't know about it, it was a lot of fun. We started this last year.
So much
fun. We did, what, 10 episodes of Knight Rider Season 1?
Something like that. That was such a delight. I did not expect to genuinely enjoy the show. So if that was the mozzarella sticks appetizer of podcasts, I think we're going to bust out the entire sampler platter.
That's right.
Onion rings, waffle fries.
You're going to get the Olive Garden taste of Italy.
Yes.
A little bit of everything. I'm really excited to start the Wise Mr. Feeny car.
Me too.
Also, Jay, you've got an ongoing concern. You're Twitch streaming.
Yeah.
Want to talk about where people can find you on that?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm sort of readjusting my schedule right now because I just started a new job. I'm one of these people who has a full-time job, isn't just, you know, some sort of lazy podcaster all day. I'm kidding.
Hey!
But no, you can find me on Twitch. It's blue_J_streams. But the other project that I do, which is much more successful, is on YouTube. You can find me, Blue Jay Streams, on YouTube. Be forewarned, that is 100% to catch a predator content. So if you like to catch a predator, check out my YouTube channel. It's fun. It's fun.
All
it makes
Chris
it feel
Hansen
better about yourself.
Time.
Yeah.
Mr. Feeny, Wise Mr. Feeny coming back. Blue Jay Streams. Check that out for the best Fall Guy. And what are you watching besides To Catch a Predator? Just whatever catches your fancy?
Oh, well, on stream, the stream is more like that's Gordon Ramsay's time to shine.
Ah.
And
Kitchen Nightmares. And
Kitchen Nightmares. And also, lately we've been watching the Japanese Iron Chef, which is surprisingly holds up quite well as a TV
nice.
Show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's fun. And there'll be some familiar faces there if you're a longtime Bald Move fan.
Well, thanks for being our backup podcasting quarterback here.
I like
really
it.
Came in. You're the Nick Foles of the Super Bowl 52 coverage.
I put down the clipboard, picked up a microphone.
We put you in. Dustin, thank you for being it. Just like I said, thinking way outside the box, having us do this commission. It's a really fun live watch. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. If you would like to commission your very own Bald Move podcast, it's really easy to do so. Just go to support.baldmove.com, click commission a podcast. It'll have all the details, the pricing, all that kind of stuff. Check it out. Until the next one, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jay McCain.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.